And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 1230 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday. I know, it seems like Monday, doesn't it? The Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR, following the Independence Day holiday. Hope you enjoyed our special program yesterday. Obviously, with a holiday, we did not have live guests, but we had a wonderful CBS radio special on the 4th of July, and some of the early history of the United States, and the writing and the passage of the Declaration of Independence. It was a fascinating show. Hope you enjoyed. We're back to live guests today, and we've got several. A little bit later on the program, we're going to be talking with Bill Malloy and Joe Savannah. They'll be sharing information on an upcoming event. It's called Festival of Praise. I'll find out what that's all about along with you when they visit with us a little bit later. It's coming up soon here in the Butler area. And speaking of coming up soon, Penn Township's annual Mega Cruise is coming weekend, right? Yeah, yeah. And Kent Shoemaker will be here to fill us in on that a little bit later on the program today. But the first thing we're going to do is get an update on the neighborhood drug watch, both around the region and specifically here in the immediate Butler area. Two guests are here to talk about it today. Kathy Klein, who kind of spearheaded the neighborhood drug watch program in Butler, and also Gail Carpenter is with us. She's one of the co-founders of Neighborhood Drug Watch. Gail, Kathy, nice to have you here today. Good to see you.
Always a pleasure to be here, David.
Good to see you. Thank you for having us back.
Boy, is it steamy out there, huh?
A little bit.
Wow.
I keep thinking of those cold winter days.
Well, that's true. I'm not complaining.
I'll take this.
It is. It's been steamy all morning. And, yeah. You know, we've had some rain already in the southern Butler County, some heavy downpours. And you just kind of feel it's got to be coming again later on today, as humid and sticky as it is.
Yeah, it's not really getting any better.
Well, it will tomorrow. Today's supposed to be the last day of the heat wave, and it's going to break overnight tonight with the passage of a cold front.
So this, too, will pass, right?
We hope so.
Good.
Right. High tomorrow, 77, which sounds pretty
sounds
nice.
Sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Certainly beats yesterday when we had 93, the hottest day of the year.
Wow. Is that with or without the heat index, David?
No, that's actual temperature. I don't even want to talk about the heat index yesterday. Well, anybody that was outside will know. It was brutal.
Absolutely, it was.
Well, we want to get an update on the Neighborhood Drug Watch. Let's talk a little bit first, Kathy Klein, about here in the city of Butler. You launched this at the beginning of this year, right, back in January?
I did, back in January, thanks to meeting Gail at a county meeting that both of us were at, and we kind of teamed up, and she introduced me to what the Neighborhood Drug Watch is all about, and I just felt instantly this is something that I wanted to do for the city of Butler. Mm-hmm. I know there's an awful lot of programs out there that it's not, I don't feel that it's something that our community has been ignoring, but it was another way that I could contribute and to really kind of zero in on some facets of this particular epidemic. And after listening to Gail, the Neighborhood Drug Watch, in my mind, I agreed with them because they focus on like the whole picture, not just one element of it, but everything, and that includes law enforcement, that includes recovery. Big portion is education, and that was the part of it that was kind of a selling point for me, because I believe there's great value in education, and as soon as you become aware of something, I also believe that it instantly changes it. So we do. I approach it for the city, those three approaches, those three prongs, law enforcement, recovery, and education. And so that's what I focus on. And every other month, I have a meeting. I have another one coming up here this month at the Public Safety Building. And we will be discussing a little bit of housekeeping and how housekeeping and how we keep our homes, our property, how it might affect, deter, or attract some unhealthy elements.
When is that next session?
July 25th. All my meetings start at 7 p.m.
And do we know the venue yet? Where it's going to be?
Public Safety Building at the fire station.
July 25th.
Mm-hmm. 7 p.m.
As I mentioned, Gail Carpenter is with us here in the studio. Gail, you are one of the co-founders of this neighborhood drug watch. And how long ago did you do this?
That would be a year and a half ago now. It mm-hmm. took a little while to really flourish and fine-tune and tweak and enhance, but I think we've got a good thing going now. And at this point, we feel very comfortable with the package, per se, that we offer, and we have it out to the world that we are receptive to new information because this is something that can morph as needed. We want the public to contribute any tools that they find, any resources that they find. And then we can replicate the formula across the state as long as we can provide or find, one volunteer who is as interested as Kathy Klein is.
So anyone who feels that way can get in touch with you and I can start a neighborhood drug watch in their particular town or borough or whatever.
This Correct. Might be, if I could interject for just a second, might be the perfect opportunity for me to mention that I have had some folks, some interest in Butler Township. Of course, we know Butler Township and Butler City are mm-hmm. neighbors. And I know that one of the, I call them city signs because that's the hat that I wear, but the Be Help, Get Help, the red and white sign, I noticed that I've been told there's one out in Butler Township. I know I have had folks from Butler Township making inquiries to me. So I think there is a need in Butler Township. The residents seem to want, they have an interest. So if there's someone in Butler Township who would like to wear that coordinating hat, I'm sure Gail would be happy to speak with them. I certainly would be happy to speak with them. But as I explained to everyone, the hat that I wear is for the city of Butler. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't want to help everybody, but you can only spread yourself so far.
Well, this is the way that it's set up, right, Gail?
Exactly.
It's
not a whole one-size-fits-all group. It varies from place to place.
Yes, because what we do is we try to, as Kathy has done and proven works, work with the individual communities and customize what is needed for that need in that township. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to hear about Butler Township. Adams Township just came online with Neighborhood Drug Watch. The police department and the supervisors have publicly announced that they are completely on board with this. They would appreciate everyone's help, but we are seeking a coordinator. To Kathy's point, we have a few volunteers that are spread very thin. Mm-hmm. Lots of great intentions, people signing up to help, but it's hard. Everyone's so busy right now. But we'd like to get one volunteer from each community who truly has this in their heart. And there's no demand as far as numbers of hours or days. We will work with you to whatever extent you have the ability.
And Adams Township, by the way, fast-growing community in the southern part of Butler County, just east of Cranberry. For people who are interested and want to start a neighborhood drug watch group, you have a whole package of stuff that you can offer them to help get going. Everything from warning signs, right? Mm-hmm. Neighborhood drug watch warning signs. And we see these all around the city of Butler
already. And I did notice I saw those in Adams Township.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, you will see we have about 60 in, I have a list of more that need to go up. So we will probably have anywhere from 65 to 70 street signs only that you will see on the signs. They may be underneath other signs mm-hmm. in where we want them. If there's not a stake, we'll put a, the streets department puts the stake in. But you will see them. There, people have been noticing them. They're popping up. And then we still have the yard signs. I still have a nice steady demand for yard signs. So you will see, we probably have maybe, I'll bet you there has to be close to 100 yard signs scattered throughout the city now.
We'll talk a little bit more about those signs momentarily. But there's other stuff being offered by Neighborhood Drug Watch. You have pre-addressed mailing bags, Gail Carpenter. What's that all about?
Correct. So as I was mentioning to you prior to the show, Dave, we don't create these products ourselves. We are simply trying to be an easy-to-find resource so that as we find valuable tools, people can know where to start. Neighborhood Drug Watch will just get you into other people's hands, hopefully very safe ones. We screen those and such. But we came across these Stericycle. The company's name is called Stericycle Incorporated. Seal and send envelopes. You have in the city of Butler various drop boxes at the police stations. Kathy would know probably the location specifically.
I think the police station is the only one that's right in the city. The next closest one, I think, is Walgreens.
And those boxes are for taking your excess quantities of prescriptions and disposing of them properly and safely, securely. Not everyone has a vehicle or transportation to get to those boxes, so these seal and send Stericycle envelopes are available through the National Safety Council, which is linked now on our homepage. They can send you these free of charge. I believe the maximum quantity is 5 each time you order one. But let's just say grandma has some extra pills and she wants to dispose of them correctly but cannot drive. She can put these in her envelope and put them out in her mailbox.
Before we go any further, you mentioned your homepage. They can find you where?
Neighborhoodrugwatch.com. It's that simple.
It's easy to do. And I've looked up that website and there's a lot of information there, including on these already addressed bags. There are a lot of homes that have, you know, say you got some prescription drugs for pain and then, you know, you didn't need them anymore, but you still had some left in a bottle. They go into the closet or the medicine chest. Sometimes there's 2 or 3 bottles of that stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And that's the way a lot of people get hooked on opioids, quite frankly. They find these unused drugs in the medicine cabinet and start on them, and the next thing you know, they're on heroin, you know.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah. And they're not boxes, they're like bins that at every police station in Butler County. Gail, I think you have one of those magnets. Yeah, those were, I think, put out by the Butler County Sheriff's and Attorney General, District Attorney Rich Goldinger's office, so that you can take anywhere in Butler County, you can look any of your police departments, they have it. Those are actually collected and picked up by the Sheriff's Department.
And certainly, these are, I'll just quickly run down the list.
Sure.
There are drop box locations in all of these police departments, Adams Township, Butler City, Butler Township, Cranberry Township, Jackson Township, Penn Township, Saxonburg Borough, Slippery Rock Borough, Zeelanopo Borough, and there's one at the Butler County Government Center, too.
Yes, yes.
Now, these are convenient, but as Gail said, not for everyone. So
exactly.
Think about the mailers.
And that's part of the program that helps to kind of, you know, dump all this old, you know, prescription medicines, whether it you need to mail it or whether you can get to one of those locations. The point is, I guess, that there are there's an avenue for you to get rid of them. They don't need to be sitting around in your medicine cabinet.
Right. Whether it's you end up with that temptation, or it could be your grandson.
Exactly.
It could be your sister, anyone.
Somebody finds them in there and takes them in the road to perdition, I guess.
Sadly.
Yeah. You said you bumped into Gail. You were speaking here in Butler County sometime last year?
Not exactly. We were at the BC3 program in which, help me here, Kathy.
Sam Quinones. Dreamland.
Author of the book Dreamland.
Mm-hmm.
He had spoken. It was a very good program. And this was when Neighborhood Drug Watch was fairly new. At the end of the program, he took questions from the audience. And that's when I stepped in with a question, and he walked right into my little healthy trap. I was hoping for the answer he gave us, because what it did was it endorsed, he did not know it, but it endorsed exactly what Neighborhood Drug Watch had been forming itself to accomplish and do. And that's when Kathy.
Yeah, and basically what he said, and it was something that I had felt all along, and in fact I had talked to family members, you know, about this, that we can't continue to wait, to sit and wait for someone to come in and fix this problem for us. And that's basically what Sam said during his presentation. He gave us a history of how things snowballed and how our country is where it is. But he also said that you can't wait for somebody in a white horse to come in and fix this for you, that you have the power to fix this yourself. You've just got to pull things together and to just do it.
And he used the word communities, if you recall.
He absolutely did. He used the word community. It is a community fix. It's not a one or two person fix or a committee fix or anything. It's a community fix.
We have seen perhaps a trend already that this information is getting out there. The number of drug overdose fatalities in Butler County through the first half of this year is
down considerably.
Quite a bit from what it was last year.
Now,
there's no way to analyze just exactly why that is. It might be better education. It might be... Well, it could be even a number of factors.
Yeah, I think it's a problem. I'm certainly no expert on any of this.
Well, doctors and dentists are mounting a campaign to try to prescribe as few of these or at least a lesser time frame for these powerful painkillers as possible, or even use other non-opioid painkillers.
When I had, in these past 12 months, I had a tooth extracted. At the dentist, and she simply said a couple ibuprofen will probably do the trick for you for pain. There wasn't even a mention, because I was all prepared. No, I don't need that, you know, which I've always just pretty much taken over the counter anyhow for, you know, any discomfort, but it was not even offered, and I thought that was a good sign. And that it wasn't at all, but I think probably this, you know, the trend that we're seeing, I don't know that anybody, I've been trying to read and to follow, you know, locally. I don't know if anybody really knows why, and it's probably a little too soon because we have to wait and see what's coming down the road.
I think a lot of it is that people are realizing every community is being touched. Whether or not they thought they were 2 or 3 years ago, maybe not. But now everyone is realizing this knows no boundaries. It does not discriminate. And I think just that general awareness, whether it's from the medical professions to, you know, the common general public to the schools, I think everyone's starting to pitch in a little bit
more. Well, that statistic is based on overdose deaths, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So it doesn't really reflect if how, you know, if we're still having, you know, the number of dealers and the people that are using because of the, you know, naloxone that is available to so many people now.
That's another factor that could be.
Yeah.
You
know, yes. Yeah. That what I'd be, you know, which I'm sure every agency actor also would like to know the statistics is how many people are maybe still using or how many people are reaching out, trying to, you know, to do that, to get help, you know, to really, because that's where I feel that we really need to get to the heart of the matter. It's wonderful that we don't have as many deaths on the overdose, you know, but we need to continue because that statistic is improving. Doesn't mean that the epidemic itself, I believe, is truly improving. I think we still have a long way to go.
I would agree with that. And every report that you see, you need to read the criteria for that data. So we've got a long way to go, but we're just happy to do what we can and find others who will help us because we really are not. We are not a charity and we are not a business. This is simply people who care enough to step up and help in any way, shape, or form that they can.
You have another thing that's available, Gail, and that's these little stickers, one of which I have stuck on the end of my finger right now. And it simply says, opioids, warn me. And what would these be used for, Gail?
Those fit conveniently right on your prescription insurance cards so that when you are picking up that medicine, for example, using Kathy's tooth extraction, perhaps she was given a prescription for a painkiller. When the patient pulls out their insurance card at the pharmacist, it just has one moment of pause because of that sticker. It's a, oh, wait, one moment. What exactly are you giving me, and is it addictive? And again, this came from the National Safety Council. They have some fabulous tools, and they were very quick to respond to our plea of, may we help promote these tools? Are you aware of what we're doing, and so on? And they said yes, yes, and yes. And if the public out there listening to this show knows of more tools, we have 16 listed on our homepage. Some of them are tangible, like the ones that you're showing now, Dave, and some are not tangible. But if anyone has more ideas, more tools, more resources, we could really use some help, especially when it comes to listing all of the various organizations, businesses, and such who can help. And we really could use some help with our website because we can't post it fast enough. We can't build it in the efficient way that perhaps a young computer intern, hint, 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 could help us with.
Well, and the thing, that website is really a collection site for a lot of educational tools. You know, and certainly the more education that you have on this topic, the better it is for everybody.
And we've had, you have to tip your cap to folks here in Butler County, including the county commissioners, who have series of educational forums.
That's the one where with Sam Quinones and Dreamland, the county commissioners.
I think that was one of about four that were held.
They are the ones who coordinated that and brought that in, and that's where Gail and I met.
Mm-hmm. And they were in different locations too.
Yes.
As you mentioned, Gail, the myth was, a few years ago that this was an urban problem, a center city problem, and then people realized, well, it's not just there; it's actually in any town. And then now we realize it's not just in towns. Rural areas, we're seeing, drug addiction problems, particularly with the opioids. They're so powerful and they're so addictive. Mm-hmm. In many cases, it starts with the pills and then it eventually graduates to the heroin.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And one of the things, too, that this is, to me, evidence that not just Gail and I working together from Adams Township to the city of Butler, but as a county community, I know that the Butler County is having it's a 2-day workshop. It's called Butler County Faces Addiction 2018, and it is taking place July 26th and 27th. It's a 2-day conference. I think the first day, folks, just about anybody can attend if you're interested. And the second day, I think, is geared more toward the professional, maybe the law enforcement. But if anybody has an interest, I'm certainly, if they call the Butler County Human Services, they will be able to give them more information and to sign them up if they need. But this is just another tool that everybody working together to combat this crisis in our community, in a greater community.
Even state lawmakers have taken notice. State lawmakers and Governor Tom Wolf, and there are now public service announcements that are, I know we're running them here on WISR radio, and you see them on TV too about the dangers of opioids and the widespread addiction problem that we face.
And another, they're broadening it more, and this is, I know I wear a city hat, but this is a program that I'm working with a couple other organizations in our community that my initiative meeting that I have every other month is this month is July, but the next month that I would hold one would be September. But in September, on September 25th, in conjunction with the City of Butler's Neighborhood Drug Watch, because I always look for speakers to come in. So we had an opportunity to bring in a very special speaker on September 25th, and we've coordinated this and put this together with the help of the Butler Health System, the Butler County Human Resources, and Butler County Criminal Justice Advisory Board. And we are going to be bringing Kevin Stevens into the community on September 25th, and we will be holding this motivational speaking and resource fair at the middle school in the city of Butler.
Do we know anything about Kevin Stevens?
We know that he was a former Pittsburgh Penguin player.
I was going to say, there was a Penguin named that. I didn't know whether it was the same guy or not.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And actually, and we will bring more to the radio station with the details, as we have the details, but as soon as we get them cemented, mm-hmm. and I will ask that we come and speak and share more with the community. But it is that same Kevin Stevens, former Pittsburgh Penguin.
Another area where this problem can bloom, starting out very innocently, and that's with athletes.
Yes.
Who are getting, they're getting treated for injuries.
Children athletes. They don't have to be
adults.
Yes,
that's right. Severe or otherwise, and the next thing you know, they're prescribing these ultra-powerful drugs, which are good things, but
if
so
you need
easy
them,
to
yes.
lead to abuse.
If you absolutely need them, and I certainly, there's a lot of people I know that absolutely nothing else will work for them. It has to be, I think, monitored, very closely. But I'm a big advocate of alternative, pain management. Mm-hmm. And I think that we as a society need to look at alternative ways of managing whatever pain that we are experiencing without just popping a pill.
And I think that's being reported quite a bit. We're realizing as a country, because this really is our country's problem, it seems that we have very little tolerance for anything. We don't have the tolerance for pain. If we had that tolerance for pain or some discomfort, I don't think we'd be exactly where we are right now with this crisis. People need to let their bodies heal to some degree. I'm not a doctor, but I do think that we could back off of quite a bit. But we have to absorb that pain, physically absorb some of it.
Seems to be the general trend in our society in recent years. There's got to be a pill for everything.
Everything.
Minor or major. So we talked about tangible tools that are available, resources, education, getting the word out. Part of Neighborhood Drug Watch, though, also is recovery assistance, right?
It is.
Helping people who realize they've got a problem get over it.
Yes. And that, I feel, was really what September's meeting will be all about. We'll have Kevin Stevens come in. He will be our motivational speaker because Kevin has his own story to tell as a former Penguin player. The road that he traveled and that he went down and he came back, and what he's doing. He has an organization in Massachusetts called Power Forward, and that is exactly what he's doing. He is reaching out to communities that will have him and speaking about his journey, speaking about it from a very personal point of view. But also on September 25th, we will have a resource fair. So that will be going on prior to his speaking, and then it'll open back up again after he speaks. So that we'll have a couple hours of information that is at your fingertips for recovery. There'll be, we're hoping, a lot of, vendors, resource organizations there to help people who want to reach out for help.
I'll look forward to more and more information on that. There are other areas where this problem intersects, and one of which, Gail Carpenter, is people who are without a job, without gainful employment. Sometimes that leads to a drug problem, right?
Correct. Yeah. Or the other way around. So one of our most recent links on our homepage is just that. If you're looking for assistance with employment, we have a direct link to the Pennsylvania Office of Vocational Rehab, and that is one of their tasks, is this specific crisis and helping people. Because you can't put anyone who's been affected by this, you can't put them back into exactly the same scenario that they walked out of. They have to be reentered in ways where there have been some changes made. And employers are also able to be educated through their website, not just the people seeking employment, but the employers are now, just like schools, they're all dealing with a whole new world. They have to be considerate and educated as to how does this work now? How do we all function as a country going forward with this crisis?
Yeah, this is a problem that affects all ages.
Yes.
Yes, it can be in the schools. We see that. And it can be in middle-aged people and seniors.
Mm-hmm.
This can happen at any age, and we're seeing more of it and more of it in age groups that we might ordinarily not expect a drug problem.
Yes.
Well, some folks wonder, you know, how could anybody not be aware of this? We've had so many problems, so many programs, so many educational programs, and yet there are still people who don't realize the scope of it, I guess.
No. Sometimes it's hard to find those programs. There are so many out there, and they're fabulous programs, but that was one of our primary goals initially before we ended up with all these tools. We were just trying to pull them together, as Kathy said, be one collective resource where we can be easier to remember and help people find those. We want to see an increase in attendance in all these programs, if at all possible, increase in awareness.
Well, let's review a little bit for folks who perhaps weren't with us at the very beginning of our conversation with Gail Carpenter and Kathy Klein. First of all, Gail, one of the co-founders of Neighborhood Drug Watch, and that extends all over now, right?
Well, we're trying.
You're hoping to.
We are trying, yes. At the moment, we're trying to focus on getting this across the state of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can really tap into the right veins of, no pun intended, of what it will take to spread this and support this, there's no harm in doing it, that's for sure. We're not making a dime. We're not asking one to spend
exactly.
money. We're asking communities to invest in their own resources. But once we can perfect that, then we'd be happy to take it to another state.
And so you're getting a toehold here in western Pennsylvania,
yeah.
You hope
yes.
so anyway.
And that actually reminds me of one of the very, very first simple statements that Gail had said to me, and it was, get help or be help. And that really spoke to me because I've always believed that there is something to help people. There is something out there that all of us can do. Whether you are a neighbor, a resident, an employer, whatever, there is something that you can do with this crisis, even if it's just simply sharing the website.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, on your computer and you go to it or your Facebook page and you go and you share it, that helps to spread awareness. And that's so there is something for absolutely everybody who wants to help.
And just to review the website, where there's a whole lot of information available, Gail, that is?
NeighborhoodDrugWatch.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. And our email address is NeighborhoodDrugWatch@gmail.com. You can ask us questions, volunteer. There is a volunteer page on our website. We'd like to understand what your comfort level is, what your past experience is, and we will find something that you can help us with because we really could use some help.
You might even see some posters with tear-off slips on the bottom at locations around the community. That, again, is part of this program, and you feel free to tear one off and that's part of the get help or be help
yes.
idea.
And we made those tear-offs available on our website. Actually, now there are quite a few things that you don't have to wait to contact us to get your hands on. You just click on the tab. I believe it says handouts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it says, handouts. And you can print these yourself and post them in your church, in your gymnasium, at your YMCA, whatever you would like. In fact, going back very briefly to Kathy's point about the get help or be help, and Dave, you mentioned you wanted to discuss the signs briefly. At the bottom of those signs, it does give the affected person a way to reach out through a phone number or texting, because we don't want them to feel as if they're being shunned and just reported on. We are trying to help the problem from the root.
Well, next gathering for the Neighborhood Drug Watch here in Butler will be July 25th at the Public Safety Building here in Butler. We thank our guests, Kathy Klein and Gail Carpenter. Good to get an update on this program.
Thank you, David.
So always a pleasure.
Thanks for being here again today. More to come on It's Your Turn. We'll take a quick break, and our next guests, we're scheduled to chat with Bill Malloy and Joe Savannah about an upcoming program called the Festival of Praise. What's that all about? Well, we'll find out So stick around. We'll be back with more in just a couple of minutes.
If you're in the market for a walk-in tub, stop and listen to this. Now you can buy direct from the manufacturer and save more than 50%. You won't pay $20,000. You won't pay $15,000. You won't even pay $10,000. Boelke walk-in tubs are made right here in America by veterans. We're certified and virtually 100% of our tubs are made in the USA. A Boelke walk-in tub is made from gel coat fiberglass. Other manufacturers use acrylic, which is basically plastic. We can deliver a walk-in tub anywhere in the U.S. and have it installed in no time at all. And everybody that calls right now can save $500 towards the purchase of a new walk-in tub. Call now and learn how to get a walk-in tub and save more than 50% off retail prices.
Call 800-256-5767. 800-256-5767. 800-256-5767. Again, that's 800-256-5767.
Ah, the 1960s in Butler. Groovy music. The summer of love. They were simpler times. And when Friday nights would come around, the kids stormed the dance floor at Funorama, the Tumbleweed, and the Purple Underground. Relive those groovy nights with the Dream Dance on Saturday, July 14th at Butler's home for entertainment, the Tanglewood Center. Join WISR's Mr. 60s, Bill Reichert, and Dave Martin for a night of swinging tunes. Doors open at 5, buffet dinner by Chef George at 6, and the dancing starts at 7. As always, it's BYOB. Tickets are $25 per person. Call 287-0021.
Do you have an Amazon Echo, Tap, or Dot in your home? If you do, you can load the new Butler Radio News skill and get the latest local news, sports, and weather from Alexa anytime you want. The Butler Radio News skill is the area's only skill to offer local news, sports, and weather. To get the skill, open your Alexa app, search for Butler Radio News, and enable the skill. It's that simple. Alexa, what's in the news?
From the Butler Radio Network, here is the latest news.
The Butler Radio Network is proud to be a leader in providing up-to-date local content to you on the devices you use, on your radio, your computer or tablet, your smartphone, and now on your Amazon Alexa device.
Welcome back, good friends. We move into the next segment of our It's Your Turn program today. And just a reminder, we still have more to come later. We'll be talking about Penn Township's annual Mega Cruise event. It's a big thing down there, and I've known it for years and years. Kent Shoemaker will join us a little bit later to talk about that. But our next guests are with us here in the studio now to discuss a festival of praise. We say hello to Bill Malloy. Bill, good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
And also Joe Savannah is here. Joe, good to see you too.
Dave, great to see you.
Yeah. Bill, I need you to get a little bit closer to that microphone. If you can pull your chair in there, that'll keep my engineer happy back in the other room. Festival of Praise, this is something that's really not familiar to me. First of all, it's coming up here next weekend, right? Not this weekend, but the next weekend.
St. Michael the Archangel Church, mm-hmm. Center Avenue.
And it's a one-day event, a Sunday?
That's correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what happens at a festival of praise? I'm not sure about this.
Well, let me tell you what doesn't happen.
Okay.
early on, when we first started announcing it and so forth, people thought it was some type of mass or that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Then I fielded a call by a lady who asked me to explain everything that went on, and I spent some time doing that to her, with her. And it ends up, she must have thought it was the Italian festival, because she says, I'm not interested in that. I thought it was spaghetti dinners. So it's not spaghetti dinners. It's not a sing-along. What it is what it says, a festival of praise. So there's a lot of praise and worship that will be going on, interspersed with a witness talk and exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. We'll be bringing up, there'll be prayer petitions as you come in. You can write out your prayer petition. They'll be they'll be taken up to the altar and incensed and so forth. And then there'll be a teaching, and then there's a procession with the Blessed Sacrament. But in between there's a lot of praise and worship, and we're hoping that will draw people, you know, closer to the Lord with the worship. That would be our hope. That's what would happen.
Joseph Anna, is this something new? Has this ever been done before in the city of Butler? I don't think so, has it?
Not in the city of Butler. St. Joe's down in Sarver. that they had. They had it set up down there, and they did a wonderful job. Geez, Dave, they must have pulled in about 300 to 400 people.
Really?
And wow. It was just overwhelming. New, I would say to our area, yes, it is. But down in Pittsburgh, Father Levi was really the person that stepped out and started to bring the songs that we've been blessed with, and plus some of the songs we've done within the church, which you're familiar with, since you were in the choir mm-hmm. for some time. Are you still doing that, Dave?
I still am, yes.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So anyhow, what was so nice about it, Bill and I one time just took a shot to go down to Pittsburgh to hear Father Levi and his group. And when we did, we were really impressed. So Bill and I started to throw it back and forth and decided to, you know, let's go down again. And he had another festival of praise, Father Levi, and it was really beautiful. And we also at the time had the thoughts about being there for the vigil for Pentecost Sunday, which was going to start like about 6 o'clock Saturday night or even earlier, and last until through Mass the following day.
All night long. Wow.
And like Bill said, there was, not only the singing day, but also people being prayed over. And they had stations set up. But the thing that was just so powerful was to see the bishop, Bishop Zubik. He was there. And he spoke for a while. But just to see the young people in the church was just overwhelming. And Bill was at a station. I was at a station. I was at a station where I could look down through the church. And in the middle aisle, it was just packed with people that wanted to be prayed with and prayed over. And but to see the bishop and to just be with procession around the whole church with the Blessed Sacrament, I mean, that was quite a chore just in this. They were actually helping to hold his elbows at different times through it. So Bill and I started to make the move of saying, hey, you know, why not in Butler? So we approached Father Harry. Father Harry mentioned the young priest, Father Levi, and he said, yeah, it's the same thing. And he was so impressed, he just said, okay, the both of you run with it. Thing is just keep me up to date on everything that's happening. And Dave, just to see the outpouring of all five churches, the people that we saw bring together or come together as far as to make this, it's going to be just happening on the 15th. So a lot of work. Bill and I just been on the phone constantly, but it's been a blessing in disguise.
No, it's not going to be an all-night thing here at St. Michael the Archangel.
No, no, it's not.
It ends at 3:30. It ends at 3:30, but... And people are free to go home, or they're free to go home whenever they want. But at 3:30 it ends, but there will be refreshments and snacks, so forth, in the hall for fellowship and so forth. But also after that, there'll be Joe mentioned about the stations of prayer. There'll be four stations where people will be ready to pray with people if they want prayer. So they're welcome to come to that as well.
And it gets underway at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it'll be a fairly full afternoon then.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is all Sunday, July 15th, which is not this coming Sunday, but the following one. I am so discombobulated with the 4th of July falling in the middle of the week. This has felt like Monday all day long. Instead, I have to pinch myself and say that it's Thursday. It's probably going to take me a couple of days to get straightened out. So
we're with you, Dave.
It's a week from Sunday, July 15th. Is this Father Levi that you've referenced, Joe, is he going to be here for
Yes,
this?
He will be the MC.
Yeah, okay.
And then also Father Alec will be the presider. And then Father William out at St. Fidelis, he will give his witness talk as far as coming to, you know the Lord, becoming a priest. And mm-hmm. So he'll give somewhat of a teaching on that also. So we're excited to be able to have that many priests to be with us.
This will have to be one. You mentioned Father Alec Schrenk.
Mm-hmm.
This will be one of the first things he'll be doing because he's just coming back from a year of study. Well, then he's going for a
Amen.
Master's or a doctorate or
yes,
something over
yes.
in Rome.
Yeah, he'll be coming in that day as far as he's with his family.
You're putting him right to work.
It was kind of close.
But he's going to, yeah, he's going to.
Well, Father Alec was with us before. I don't know if you remember. He was with us a brief time, maybe a year, year and a half, whatever the case was. Mm-hmm. He was only with maybe 6 months or so, and then they sent him to Rome.
Mm-hmm. Anyone and everyone is welcome to attend this?
That's it.
Yeah, all are welcome.
Yeah, all anybody, are welcome.
Just any like we stated. Faith, any religion, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And there's no registration or sign up or anything like that. You just go.
Just come and praise the Lord.
Yeah, when you come in, there'll be some tables that if you have, maybe there's something on your heart that you want prayed for, you can write that down, put it in, you know, fold it up, put it in the basket, and all those prayers that will be brought to the altar, and those prayers will be incensed and prayed for as part of the FOP. So that's the Festival of Praise. So that will happen as soon as you come in. Now, you don't have to, but then at the end of that, those prayers will be gathered and then burned, you know, for confidentiality purposes, and also the sort of like the incense going up to the Lord. The
kind praise. Of like the Holocaust of the Old Testament, too.
Yeah.
These
yeah.
burned things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you say there'll be a lot of music. That's right up your alley, Bill Malloy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Joe is actually the advisor for the band. We call it a band. It's not a choir. You know, so there's several guitarists, a bass player, keyboard.
The Malloy voices.
Yeah, we got. There's also a violin, a flutist, and so forth. So it's a nice blend. But it's like I say, it's not a choir or not an orchestra. It's a band, and we call it a praise band.
Did you have to pick out the particular songs or hymns that you're gonna use, Joe?
Yes, what we had to do for our copyright, I had to get a license, and so for the use of the different songs we would use.
Really?
Yes.
Kind of amazing to me. You don't have to do that when you're just singing these hymns at church, do you?
But the way they talk, they'll actually tell us that CCL, which comes out of the state of Washington, is copyright, and just turn it around, right to copy. Okay, in other words, to be able to make prints of it, to be able to sing it.
Okay, I got you.
So there, you have to have the license. But as far as in the songs, Bill had a lot to do with that. Father Levi also. When he performed down in Pittsburgh, Dave, he was the bishop approached him after we had Pentecost, and he said, I want you to duplicate what you're doing here in Pittsburgh. In other words, all over. So with all the changes being made, the bishop put him in a certain position to be able to have Festival of Praises throughout the diocese. So we're excited about it. This is our first, and we're going to see what happens as far as down the road and how people react.
It can probably, and I would imagine this is one of the reasons that Bishop Zubik was so high on it. This can be sort of a bonding of parishes that are going to be combined within the next couple of years, right?
Yes.
And Joe's holding up five fingers. Is that how many in the Butler
five,
area?
Five, well, at least within our area, right? St. Peter's, St. Paul's, St. Michael's.
St. Andrew's,
St. Fidelis.
Yeah, it is a bonding, Dave. We've got to know some really, that I never knew, really nice people, really good people. Had it not been for the Festival of Prayer, I would have never met, never known. We put there's, I don't know how many's in the whole thing, including the band. There's probably 40 to 50 people involved. But like I said, the good thing is it was, I think it's doing maybe what the bishop would like it to do, and that's the, you know, it's pretty hard to combine parishes and, you know, with all that goes on with that, hurt feelings and all that other stuff. This is a blending, and hopefully it'll continue on to as part of what Bishop Zubik wants.
This, it occurs to me, is somewhat analogous to a retreat or even a mission where you have a number of speakers in, but you're combining this with the music, so that makes it a little bit different.
Yes, we are. But you're picking up in a good important part, because what happens with the music in Etzer is just how the people are going to react. If it was a retreat or an outing for a day, having certain people come in and speak for the parish. And as Bill mentioned, as we bring together the five parishes, there's just going to be so much out there, Dave, to be handling what we have in the music and the teachings, and make us one, really one, out of the five, which I know Father Harry has worked so hard for it, and what's on the bishop's heart too. But so we're excited about it, and as far as having retreats and so forth, these formats, it would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people simply are unable to go on a lengthy retreat. You know,
yes.
They have work
good
commitments,
point.
Family commitments, and so on and so forth. And I'm not comparing this exactly, but kind of a condensed, you know, almost for a couple of hours.
We're hoping that the Holy Spirit will move in that hour and a half, yes. That people's hearts will be turned to the Lord and get revitalized. The theme of is hope, healing, and reborn. So, that will give people hope. They'll receive healing, and reborn in the Spirit, renewed in the Holy Spirit. So we're hoping that that's what happens. We pray every day. When I say we, the entire festival of praise every day. There's a prayer we pray, and I'll give you a copy of the day. But this was composed by the leader of the prayer team. This is for the Festival of Praise.
Oh, okay.
So anyhow, we all of us pray that every day, and that the Lord will work in this thing. So there's some spiritual warfare going on there.
Read this. Will you read it for
sure,
us?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. This is Bill Malloy reading this prayer.
Almighty Father, glory and praise to you, O Lord. May the Holy Spirit give us vision and be our guide as we plan, prepare, and participate in the Festival of Praise. We are your humble servants and want to do your will. Let your Spirit enkindle the fire of your love in each of us as we work together to bring an afternoon of praise and worship to you. May our community become the light and salt of the earth by attending this glorious event. May the healing we receive give us hope and call us to be reborn in your Spirit. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Thank you, O gracious Father. Amen.
Now, you also mentioned that there's healing as part of this event. Now, would this be individuals who have a serious illness or a serious condition? Or,
yes.
I mean, there are a number of other ways to be healed, too, you know.
Well, it could be internal, internal healing, or but it's also, and this particular point is for, it could happen during the Festival of Praise, but we will have four prayer stations in the church up by the altar and on the side for people who want prayer. And like I say, it could be physical healing and so forth. The people that are in charge of the four prayer teams have been instructed in what's called the five-step method. And then with those leaders, there's four leaders, and then there's two intercessors. With each one of them. So there'd be 12 people, four stations of three each.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope is that through using the five-step method for prayer, there's a number of prayer methods. There's the unbound, there's transformational prayer, there's a number of different methods of prayer. This happens to be the five-step method. The people involved that are called the interviewers, the leaders of it, we're instructed, we're given training in that method, and they will lead the prayer sessions for anybody that wants prayer, whatever that might be.
It occurs to me that one area where healing might be necessary and welcomed would be those who are battling addiction.
Absolutely.
No, that's a big problem in our society today, and that would certainly be considered
absolutely, and we would encourage anybody who knows somebody who has that problem, whatever, to bring them and see what the Lord does. What what the five-step method and the other methods that are used in models, it's just to get the people in a position to where they're comfortable enough and feel safe enough and so forth where Jesus can minister healing. It's, you know, none of us, are healers. It's Jesus who does the healing.
We're talking about a Festival of Praise event, which will take place Sunday, July 15th, starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at St. Michael the Archangel Church. If you're not from Butler or not familiar with Butler, that church is located on Center Avenue.
432.
You could stop anywhere in town and ask where Center Avenue is. It's on the south side, and you'll be able to find it with ease. And the church is right on that street, so no problem there. And everyone is welcome.
Everyone is welcome.
No matter what your faith tradition is, doesn't matter. You're welcome to come.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a Catholic event, so we're not hiding that. But all are welcome.
And all are welcome to sing, too.
Amen. I hope you'd be there to sing, Jay.
Yeah, I was looking over your schedule here, and you've got some good songs that have been selected here. Very beautiful. Yeah. And I don't know, it says the last event here is Shout to the Lord. Is that like a real loud song, or what's that all about?
Well, it was probably goes back 7-8 years. What's her name? Kathy Zetch or some? I can't think of her name right now. Darlene Zetch, maybe. She had a big Christian hit with that song.
So it's
a pretty nice way to go out.
Well, I have to confess, I'm not familiar with that one. So
okay.
Shout to the Lord, huh?
Yes.
Well, it sounds like a good way to end it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And it is.
Well, gosh, guys, I just want to go over the information for folks who aren't with us at the very beginning. You all have three priests there. They will all speak, Joe?
Yes. No, they. Yes. Yes, they will. They will all speak. Like I said, Father Levi will be the master of ceremonies. Father Alec, presider, and Father William, witness speaker. So they'll be speaking. Yes, they will.
Mm-hmm. And interspersed with the music and the healing and so on
yes.
and so forth.
Well, the healing aspect is after it's over. Those are, after the truth
okay.
for people that want that particular healing.
Mm-hmm. And also the opportunity for fellowship, too, right?
Amen.
In the hall, absolutely.
All
we
over.
Encourage people to go up there and have a cup of whatever and... get together and with people that they maybe know or don't know.
This will be at the
hall, St. Michael's Hall.
Okay, which is right next to the church.
Yeah, up above the church, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, guys, for stopping in and filling us in on this. Again, it's Sunday, July 15th, starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Bill Malloy and Joe Savannah with us. Nice to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks
nice
for having
to be
us.
With
we
you.
Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Believe me. Sounds like a great event. Coming up, we have more here on It's Your Turn on WISR on this Thursday edition. I almost said Monday. That's Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. Kent Shoemaker scheduled to visit with us next. A program note, no Pirate baseball tonight on WISR as the Pirates have a day off. They probably needed to lick their wounds after the shellacking they took at the hands of the Los Angeles Dodgers over the past 3 days. But an off day for the Pirates today. They will be starting a homestand tomorrow night. They'll be hosting the Phillies, and we'll have the game for you as usual tomorrow night here on WISR. Airtime 6:40 for Pirate warm-up tomorrow night. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. And just a reminder, if you're still involved with spring cleaning, I know I'm not done yet either, you come up with items that you don't need anymore or don't want anymore, or maybe you're just decluttering, you don't have room for them anymore. Instead of just automatically tossing them in the trash, consider donating items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. It's in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8, just south of Butler. Every penny of the proceeds of the operation of that store go into helping to fund the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and their client aid program. Plus, you'll give somebody else the opportunity to enjoy these once-used items
that you were going to throw away anyway. We don't need to put any more stuff into the landfill than we have to, right? So think about it. If you've got a lot of stuff or big stuff like furniture, you can call the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and they'll come with their truck and pick it up. Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. Again, it's in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 just south of Butler. And it's easy to find. It's right on the one side of the shopping center there. There's plenty of free parking right outside the door. And the drop-off bins, the collection bins, are right inside the front door. Society of St. Vincent de Paul. We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Back with more. It's your turn on WISR this Thursday, right after this.
Summer is in full swing at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. Enjoy the outdoors with charcoal, Conjäger spices and meat marinades, oil lanterns, flashlights, poison ivy soap, and Nature's Defense deer repellent. Care for your animals with dog and cat warmer, horsefly wipes, horsefly masks, plus pick up grain-free dog biscuits and fresh-made horse, pig, sheep, and chicken feeds. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler. Don't miss the Fair Week special at Osterling's. 40% off muck boots for men, women, and kids, June 29th through July 7th.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Our next guest joins us here in the studio to talk about an upcoming event. It's a big event that's been happening in Penn Township for quite a few years now. We'll find out about it from Kent Shoemaker. Kent, good to see you again. Nice to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Seems like yesterday we were here.
Can't believe another year has passed.
Yeah.
And you've also brought another guest with you here today, right?
That's my granddaughter, yes.
Yes, Bailey Thompson. Hi, Bailey. How are you? Nice to have you here.
I'm good. How are you?
So the event coming up is the Mega Cruise, Kent.
Yes, the 18th Mega Cruise. That's easy to remember because it started in 2000. If it had started any other year, it would have been difficult for you to figure out. But it's easy. It's 2018, so it's the 18th Mega Cruise.
And that's coming up this weekend, right?
Yes, this Saturday, July 7th.
Mm-hmm. It's a one-day event, right?
Rain or shine, one day. That's correct, yeah.
And where does it all take place, Kent?
This takes place at the Butler County Airport. Of course, that's now officially the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport. But most people, I think, still call it the Butler County Airport off of Airport Road. So you just make a right if you're heading south from Butler, onto Airport Road, and of course, if you're heading north on Route 8, you make the left and just go until Airport Road ends because you're at the airport, mm-hmm. and there will be parking there, and come on in.
You certainly have lots of room there, that's for sure.
We have a lot of room. Of course, you know, we're keeping our fingers crossed always for good weather. Right now, things look pretty good. There's a lot of paved area on the tarmac that we can put hundreds and hundreds of cars on. But it's always nice to be able to expand out into the grass area. However, that only happens if it's dry. We don't want to tear the airport up, and we don't want cars to experience mud. Those guys and ladies work too hard in those cars. So we have to make that call the day of, but there's still plenty of room.
Well, the forecast calls for this to be the last day of the storm, so
thank goodness.
Hopefully we'll dry out by Saturday. And you're right, the long-range forecast is outstanding.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Bailey, do you help out on this event?
Every year.
Yeah? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not from this area, are you?
No, I'm from Wichita, Kansas.
So she visits over the summer?
Yeah, Bailey, if from the time she was born, has spent a lot of time here in Pennsylvania, and A lot of the summer she spends here. And mm-hmm. she always tells me she's just so glad to get back. She said this is one of the most beautiful states she's ever seen.
Ah,
absolutely. Yeah. One of my favorite places to come.
Well, it's quite a bit different from where you live. You're out in Kansas, where I've never been to Kansas, but it's pretty flat out there, right?
It's very flat, and there's maybe a fourth of the amount of trees. Mm-hmm. And so every time I'm in the car, I just gaze out the window staring at all the beautiful scenery.
A lot of corn and a lot of wheat out there in Kansas, I guess, huh?
Yes, yeah. Lots.
You also could get some pretty violent weather out there at times.
Oh, it's yes.
Kind of tornado alley, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I've been lucky to avoid all the tornadoes, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yes.
So you're on summer break from school, Bailey?
I am, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what will you be doing? What grade will you be in come fall?
I'll be a junior in high school.
Well, that's a good time in one's life.
It sure is.
I'm very excited.
Exciting time.
Yes, enjoy. What do you want to do with yourself after high school? Do you know yet, or are you still mulling that over?
I've known since I was a child, actually. I want to be a veterinarian.
Well, good
I've always
you.
Wanted to.
Good for you.
I'm excited.
Well, that's a lot of study. Are you a good student?
Lots of studying. I definitely try to keep my grades up and study as much as I can.
Well, nice to have you back here.
Of course.
For summer break.
And, she'll be on the front gate there, you know, passing out the flyers and the dash plaques that we give to the first 600 cars that, well, actually, for about the first 550 that come through the gate. So she'll be there greeting people and then working inside at some of the booths.
That's the first 550 cars, folks. Now you know why they call it a mega cruise, because you're going to have a lot of nice vehicles there to look at.
You just see some fantastic show pieces. It amazes me what these people can do. And I love to see the before pictures and the after pictures. And they often display with their cars. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I have a friend that said he's never envious of what people have other than their talents. And some of these people have to be very talented to bring some of these cars back to life. But we have some great, not just cars and muscle cars, we have trucks and motorcycles that show up. Airplanes are taking off and landing while we're there. So there's a lot going on. You know, and we'll have some new cars there, too. If I can maybe just real quick throw a plug in there to Tom Henry Chevrolet and also to Honda North.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, Deal Automotive and the Hardwood Cafe. You know, these people, year after year, it's just not our car crews helping the fire department out, but well, it just amazes me the community work that they do and how much time and funding that they provide for different good causes. So I always like to give a shout-out to them. And, of course, we have a lot of other sponsors, too, that if you come, they'll be listed in the booklet, and we'll be giving them credit. So we thank all of them.
Do you ask for a donation for people that are coming in?
Well, the cruise cars, they don't. There's no fee. Mm-hmm. You know that they're the show, and we appreciate them coming. Now, a lot of those people come in, and it's amazing. You know, we tell them no fee, and they say, "Well, we want to make a donation," and they say, "It's for the fire department, right?" And we say, "Yeah, Penn Township Fire Department," and they say, "Well, here," and they'll. So that's nice. We don't expect that. But a lot of them do it. Now, if you're walking in to see, just to see the cars, you're a walk-in, we ask for a $2 donation. And, again, that's always interesting. You know, every once in a while, you get that person say, "This is a donation?" "Yes." "Well, then I don't have to pay it, right?" And "No, you don't." And they'll go in. That's rare. You know, a lot of the people, they'll say, "Hey, it's for the fire department." You know, they'll give you a little extra. So, you know, people are really good in this area. Good people.
All of this, as Ken mentioned, benefits the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department, which, by the way, is located right at the end of one of the runways, right? At the end of the main runway at Pittsburgh Butler Regional Airport.
Right. The runways are 8 and 26, so pretty much east-west. Okay, and the fire department is right at the east end of the airport, and We've had a couple visitors over the years, planes that just didn't get stopped, you know, so they ended up in our backyard. So it wasn't a very, we didn't have to go very far for those calls.
You provide fire and emergency protection for the airport?
Yeah, we're the primary, you know, source for the first responding units there. Penn Township, yes, we cover the airport. Right. In fact, even our last truck that our newest engine was designed with the airport in mind. We have phone systems built right into the truck that, you know, provide in case it were an aviation accident, that we have the proper phones and everything to put on the planes.
So. Well, they couldn't possibly ask for protection to be any closer.
Well, that's
right,
true.
Right at the end of the runway there.
Yeah.
And Penn Township is it's a large fire department. It's a very active one. Are you having trouble getting volunteers down there, as we hear so many volunteer fire companies are?
Well, you know, we've been fortunate that it just seems like periodically somebody shows up and says, you know, I'd like to help. We just had a gentleman that came, and I'm guessing he's probably in his mid-40s, maybe late 40s, and he just decided he wanted to help. And he went through all the courses and became a firefighter, completing Firefighter 1. So every once in a while you get a person like that that comes in. Could we use more help? Yes. And a lot of fire departments are hurting for help. You know, I don't know the exact numbers, but off the top of my head, Pennsylvania had like something around the neighborhood of 380,000 volunteer firefighters, and now it's down under 100,000. So volunteerism is a difficult thing these days, not just with fire departments. So yeah, I'm sure all fire departments would welcome anyone that wanted to help out.
There are some municipalities that are even now beginning to experiment with offering some benefits to people who, you know, are active members of volunteer fire departments. Butler Township is going toward that, offering some partial relief on taxes.
Taxes, yes. There's a program out there now where if you're an active volunteer firefighter, you can get some tax credit. I don't know exactly how that works, but you have to live within that township or that fire department, and but that's a good thing. That's one thing. And I know some fire departments have actually provided lodging for maybe young people that are going to school in the area, and they give them a place to stay as long as they run calls for that department. So they're coming up with a lot of things, and you'll probably see some changes in the future, near future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a great idea. And I've heard talk of providing tuition assistance for children of firefighters. And we're talking about active firefighters now, not just people who are
right.
In name only, you know.
Right, yeah. You got to be careful with that. So there would have to be a lot of careful record keeping, you know, who's actually showing up for calls, who's continuing with their education in firefighting and so forth. But yeah, I think it's a good thing, and I think you've got to look towards all that. It'd be very, very expensive if the volunteer firefighters, the different departments dissolved, and you had to go to paid departments. We're talking about a huge chunk of money.
Anybody who's served by a volunteer fire department, whatever municipality you live in, you should try to support them as much as you can, because, as Kent said, man, to try to get paid fire protection, it would cost a fortune.
Yeah, right,
So lucky to have the volunteer departments. And one of the most active in our area is Penn Township. By the way, if you're not familiar with Penn Township, and I suppose a lot of our listeners who aren't from the immediate Butler area would not be, Penn Township is the municipality that's just south of Butler.
Yeah. Right.
Route 8 kind of bisects the township.
Runs right, yeah, right down the center.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to go to the Mega Cruise this Saturday, it's Airport Road, which turns right off Route 8. And that's just a few miles south of Butler.
Right.
Easy to get to.
And gates open up at 2. So folks are welcome to walk in and see all the cars. And there's going to be a lot of other things, too. We have an unbelievable Chinese auction. People really enjoy it. And of course, there's the 50-50 and the all-day music, karaoke in the evening. We have great food there. We got some great vendors, you know, so... Yeah, a lot of people come out, they enjoy the cars, they enjoy the food also.
Karaoke in a hangar. When's the last time, listeners, you had a chance to sing in an aircraft hangar? Not very often, I would think.
Huh? That's right. You know, it's like singing in a shower. It sounds good no matter who you are. Mm-hmm. So you sing inside a hangar, it comes out pretty good. Bailey always jumps in there, and she has a real nice voice, and so we always enjoy hearing her sing a few songs.
Are you good at karaoke, Bailey?
I sing it every year at the car cruise.
Yeah. I've never sung in a hangar before. That might be interesting.
It's lots of fun.
Come on down.
You'd get a nice echo in there, I suppose. You'd probably sound a lot fuller than you would ordinarily. Well, that's fun. Karaoke is fun. We're talking about the Mega Cruise to benefit Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department coming up this Saturday at the Butler County Airport. We owe for a break here, and we also owe for a look at the midday lottery numbers. So we'll take a break and give you that information. We'll be back to talk more about the Mega Cruise in just a couple of minutes here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 8282. The pick 3, 522, 522. The pick 4 is 5955, 5955. The pick 5, 54914. The wild ball for each is 3. The treasure hunt, 3, 5, 18, 23, and 26. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt, $45,000.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Butler Transit now provides weekday transportation to and from Pittsburgh for just $5 one way. No worrying about traffic or expensive parking fees. Free Wi-Fi is also available. Park at a convenient park and ride or hop on the bus at the downtown bus terminal. Senior 65 and up, ride free with a senior pass. For more information, visit butlertransit.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Jerry's Girls, the summer show of the Musical Theater Guild of Butler, a group of female performers paying tribute to the song catalog of composer-lyricist Jerry Herman. Songs include Hello Dolly, We Need a Little Christmas, Before the Parade Passes, Mame, and many more. Jerry's Girls, two weekends, the weekend of July 13th and the weekend of July 20th. At the William A. Leonard Performance Hall in the MTG Production Center in Butler Memorial Park. Tickets available online at mtgbutler.org. Temperatures already up into the mid-80s, and it has been hot and sticky from the get-go today. And we're looking for more shower and thunderstorm activity, and we're starting to see some bubble up again. Had some earlier today in the southern part of Butler County. Did you have any in Penn Township?
Parts of Penn Township had it, but it's all around us. You could hear the thunder. Mm-hmm. You could even see the lightning, and I don't think we got more than a couple drops.
Here in Butler, we had sunshine, but you could look to the south, and the clouds were black. I know Cranberry got it, Adams, Saxonburg, Sarver, Cabot, they got inundated, and it was kind of unusual to find that so early in the morning. But
right.
With the conditions like we have, it's so humid, it's so sticky, that these things bubble up just about any time, and it looks like we have some more bubbling up and moving into perhaps most of our listening area here this afternoon. Hope we don't get a repeat of last night. We had an absolute deluge in Butler last night. Just poured for probably half an hour, and it just came up all of a sudden.
From where we were, it was Penn Township. It looked dark to the north, so
we had and they went on with the city fireworks last night. It was bizarre. We had Mother Nature putting on a fireworks display at the same time the fireworks were going off here in the city. It was really unusual. Speaking of fireworks, if you missed them because of the bad, and I know a lot of folks who did, because it was so stormy last night, they said, we're going to bag it. We're not going to bother with the fireworks. You have a chance at the Mega Cruise, right?
Right. Our final activity of the evening, fireworks, we call it Thunder Over the Runway, and that will take place at about 9:50. Come on out for that. We usually get a big crowd in the evening just to see the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Pyrotechnico does that out of Newcastle, and they do a nice job. Scott Behrens will be doing that karaoke right up to about then. So karaoke and fireworks, how can you go wrong?
We were talking about the weather during the break, and Bailey said, because Kent and I were saying, boy, it's been so hot around here. Bailey, you say it's even hotter on a regular basis out in Kansas? I didn't realize that.
Yes, around this time it's about 10, 20 degrees hotter, so I'm very happy to be visiting at this time.
I know in parts of the South, I used to visit relatives in Virginia, south of D.C., on a periodic basis, and it was just unbearable down there. I mean, really, really humid and sticky every day.
The humidity kills you. I have a daughter that lives in L.A., and it gets hot out there, but it's a different heat. It's a dry heat.
I've heard that. I've never
it's
been
doable.
Out there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess all of us just take a deep breath and think it's better than shoveling snow.
This is true.
That's true.
It's a little bit uncomfortable, very uncomfortable, but it's better than shoveling snow. The Mega Cruise, by the way, right now the long-range forecast for Saturday looks great, but you go rain or shine, right?
Yeah, it will be rain or shine. Like you said, the thing that I like in that forecast is the humidity supposed to lift and that should make a very pleasant day. Not going up into the 70s, I think around 76, and low humidity. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
You can also watch planes come in and take off if that fascinates you. It does me. I've always been fascinated by flight and aircraft. You're a pilot, aren't you, Ken?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
In fact, our dash plaque this year, the person who does that, KLM Lawn Care, he said, hey, you put a picture on Facebook a while back. And he said, could I use that for your dash plaque? And I said, sure, thinking that the picture he was talking about was a picture of our flyer for the car cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And I never gave it another thought. When we got the dash plaques, here it was a picture of the cockpit of the airplane with fireworks behind it. So, and it, we just happened to be coming in for a landing at night, and of course the cockpit was lit up red, and he superimposed the fireworks, but it really made an interesting dash plaque, but a little different than usual. So there you go, a collector dash plaque for this year.
That is nice.
It is, and of course it's in color. So
There's a photograph of it in the program, right?
Which
people get for. Does everybody get one of these whenever they come in so they know what's going on?
It's like the dash plaques. The first about 570 dash plaques and programs will be given out to the cars that come in. So, if they want a dash plaque, it's the first ones, they get in there.
And those are collectible items for people who take their cars to cruises. A lot of folks collect them. They've got lots and lots of them.
They do, yeah. People, they frame them and what have you. They put several together and frame them. It makes a nice collection.
So with all this violent weather that we've been having, and it seems like it's about every other day this summer, we get these thunderstorms. Have you ever flown in a thunderstorm or in bad weather? Or do you?
I do my best to avoid it. Yeah, I have flown in it, and I've flown through some bad storms. It's not a real fun experience. So, Mother Nature, you just got to respect her. And you avoid that. If it's going to be that bad, you don't go. And if you are up there, you find out where the storms are and you go around them.
We're in hurricane season now, although the peak hurricane season is still a few weeks away for the Caribbean and the southern part of the country, but they always have those hurricane hunters, you know, that these the pilots that fly right into the eye of a hurricane. That just always astonishes me. I wouldn't do that for anything.
I'd have to think twice about that myself.
Yeah, now these are large planes.
C-130s.
Yeah, yeah, different than a small private plane. I was flew through a heavy thunderstorm once in a commercial aircraft. I was flying from Philadelphia back to Pittsburgh. And it's a flight that I will never, ever forget because we flew – usually a commercial airline pilot will – if they see that coming, they'll try to avoid it. You know, they'll ask for permission to go higher or lower or go
right
around it or whatever. And for some reason, we weren't able to do that. And to be in an aircraft with the lightning flying all around, it was really kind of unnerving.
Oh, geez.
I guess it's a safe place to be. Even if lightning strikes a plane, unless it's a small plane, you should be okay. But it's still kind of scary to see.
Oh, sure. That's a scary experience.
Night flight, too, so that made all the difference in the world.
That would light things up, I'm sure.
Yeah. Everybody was pulling the window shades down, you know.
So you don't have to.
I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this. Anyway, we made it back to Pittsburgh
right
safely, but it was a flight to remember, that's for sure. Hey, for a Saturday to remember, and by the way, you don't have to live in Penn Township, for goodness sakes.
Oh, no.
To go to this event. You get people from all over, I'm sure.
All over. I had a gentleman call me from Oil City this morning. He wants to bring his car down. So not just do the cars come a fairly good distance, but we get people that really are from all parts of the Pittsburgh area,
mm-hmm,
and even people from up around Erie tend to make their way here.
Well, heck, we have people from as far away as Wichita, Kansas.
That's right.
In for the event this
year. She left Toto at home, though.
Saturday. I did, unfortunately.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Speaking of violent weather, right?
Yeah.
We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Yes.
She gets that a lot.
I bet you do. The Mega Cruise, to review the details for you, Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department has done this every year for, I think, close to 20 years now. 18th, you said?
18th, yep.
The Mega Cruise this Saturday, rain or shine, but it's going to be shine, starting at 2 o'clock. Is that when the gates open?
For the pedestrian traffic, yes.
Mm-hmm. The cars will be coming in a little earlier than that.
Right, right.
And you go until after the fireworks, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So fireworks at 9:50.
Lots to eat, lots to entertain you, lots of music all day, karaoke, raffles, all kind of good stuff, and lots of cars and pickup trucks to look at as well. Thanks, Ken Shoemaker. Good to see you again. Nice to have you here today.
It's always nice to be here.
Nice to meet you, Bailey.
Nice to meet you as well.
Bailey Thompson, that's Kent's granddaughter, who has been a regular helper at Mega Cruise over the past few years as part of her summer vacation, spending it here in our area. Hey, coming up on the program tomorrow, by the way, quick program note for tonight, no Pirate baseball, as the Pirates have a scheduled off day today, and they need it, I think, to lick their wounds after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that road trip started out so nicely. You follow, Kent's shaking his head, you follow the Pirates. They took 2 out of 3 from the Mets in New York. Then they went to San Diego. They took 2 out of 3 from the Padres. And then they went to Los Angeles, and the roof caved in against the Dodgers.
That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are. Powerhouse team. Anyway, off day today, but we'll be back with Pirate baseball tomorrow night here on WISR as the Pirates begin a homestand with the Philadelphia Phillies. We want to tell you what's coming up on the It's Your Turn program tomorrow. We'll have some open talk time to begin with. We're also going to be chatting tomorrow with Bruce Mazzoni from Cranberry Township. Their community chest project has been announced, their next one. And my goodness, but they've been doing some wonderful work down there. They're planning to try to raise money for some major improvements to the Cranberry Area Public Library. And we'll find out details on that tomorrow from Bruce. And also tomorrow, Simon Newbert will join us. Now, maybe you've heard about this. There's going to be a Model T International annual tour here in Butler with a lot of Model T cars coming in. Just when and just where? Well, we'll find out tomorrow when we chat with Simon Newbert. That should be quite a treat. I don't know whether they're going to have a parade. I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. Meanwhile, that wraps up our program for today. We have news coming up for you next. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 with the Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 in Butler.
Want to quickly tell you that there is a severe thunderstorm warning for southeastern Mercer County, southwestern Venango, and northern Butler County as well up until 2:30. That's a severe thunderstorm warning until 2:30 this afternoon for southeastern Mercer, southwestern Venango, and northern Butler counties. More on that in a moment.
This is your complete source for